Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the JinkoSolar fourth quarter and full year of 2019 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-answer session, which you will need to press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Ms. Ripple Zhang. Thank you. Please go ahead, Ripple.
Thank you, operator. Thank everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter and full year 2019 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jinner Miao, Chief Marketing Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢 Ripple。 各位早上晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Ripple. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
受益于2019年下半年公司单晶硅片产能的快速释放和行业领先的一体化制造成本，我们2019年四季度和全年的组件出货量、营业收入和毛利润均创下历史新高。2019年全年，西税折旧摊销前利润达 3.8 亿元美金，非美国会计准则净利润达 1.4 亿美金，全年毛利率 18.3%， 相较2018年均有非常显著的提高。
Benefiting from the rapid expansion of our mono-wafer production capacity during the second half of 2019 and our industry-leading integrated cost structure, we closed out the year with a very strong performance in which solar module shipments, total revenue and gross profit all hit record highs for both the fourth quarter and the full year. EBITDA was $380 million in 2019.Non-GAAP net income for the year came in at $140 million, while gross margin expanded to 18.3%, or significantly improved when compared to last year.
2019年是公司里程碑式的一年，我们转型成为了全球最具竞争力的光伏制造商。凭借高效的执行力，2019年下半年以来，我们以惊人的速度实现了从多晶到单晶的全面转型，迅速释放的高效产能使我们的一体化制造比例稳步提升，创新产品能够快速实现量产，受益于高效产品的客户群体进一步扩大，精细化的管理推动供应链各环节持续优化，制造成本显著下降。2019年我们的全球市场份额相较2018年继续扩大，展望2020年，我们预计全年组件出货量将进一步增长约35%。
2019 marked a significant milestone in our corporate history in which we successfully completed our transformation into the most competitive solar manufacturer in the world. The efficient execution of our strategy throughout the second half of the year allowed us to rapidly transition operations and facilities from multi to mono production and steadily increase the proportion of products made through our fully integrated manufacturing process. This allowed us to rapidly begin mass production of our innovative solar products and distribute them to our growing customer base, eager to benefit from their increased efficiency. We also further refined management process to further optimize operational efficiency across our business and supply chain, which significantly reduced manufacturing costs. As a result, we closed out the year with a significantly expanded share of the global market, which ideally positions us to continue doing so in the year ahead, where we expect solar module shipments to increase by approximately 35%.
2019年，全球光伏装机新增装机量相较2018年稳步增长，其中欧洲市场新增装机同比翻倍。美国市场由于供应紧张，价格依旧坚挺，新兴市场多点开花，新增装机超过吉瓦级市场数量不断增加，全球光伏市场的集中度进一步下降。由于光伏迈入平价，行业的长期成长空间也逐步开启。同时，各地政府对于新能源的发展重视程度日益加深，规划了本国新能源发展的中长期计划。我们预计2020年全球需求仍有望保持快速增长，新增装机预计达到140到150吉瓦，同比增长约20%。2019年中国市场由于政策出台较晚，留给企业组织申报和项目开发的时间非常有限，部分装机不得已延迟到下一年。2020年中国竞价政策的落地时间相较2019年提前。这将给项目开发和申报留出更多的时间，预计整体竞价项目的完成率会高于2019年。2019年推迟的竞价项目叠加2020年的新增装机，中国市场的需求在2020年有望达到40到50吉瓦，同比增速约50%。关于市场，后续间呢将介绍更详细的情况。
New installations globally grew steadily throughout the year. New installations in Europe doubled in 2019, while ASPs in the United States remained high as a result of constrained supply. A number of emerging markets are flourishing, with many of them approaching gigawatt levels, which we believe reflects the direction the market is headed, with demand diversifying globally instead of being concentrated near a few large markets. With grid parity rapidly approaching, the long-term growth potential of the industry is rapidly opening up. Governments across the globe are increasingly devoting more resources towards the development of clear energy and quickly rolling out plans with medium to long-term targets for clean energy production. We believe global demand in 2020 will continue generating strong growth momentum, with newly added installations expected to be in the range of 140 to 150 gigawatt, an increase of around 20% year over year. Turning to the domestic market, the delayed announcement of the government subsidy policy for PV projects in China in 2019 left little time for companies to plan and submit project development applications, which resulted in many of them being pushed back into 2020. The subsidy for 2020 is finalized earlier in the year than was done last year, which will allow more time for project development, planning, and application, and will result in higher overall completion rate. With the number of projects from 2019 delayed into 2020, total installations in China is expected to be in the range of 40 to 50 gigawatts in 2020, an increase of about 50% year over year. I will let Jenner go into this in more detail later.
2020年年初，新型冠状病毒的传染病在中国出现，中国政府采取了全面而严厉的预防和控制措施，包括延长春节假期，防止病毒进一步扩散，调动医疗资源进行最大限度的救助，以及对交通运输实现严格管制。光伏行业由于春节后复工的推迟，导致部分原材料和 部分原材料供应和代工产能的短缺，以及物流的滞后，一部分出货量将从一季度推迟到二季度。针对疫情，公司采取了一系列措施，以确保业务的持续性，包括保护员工的健康和安全，以及借助于提前备货和最优化的安排生产和物流，将疫情对生产和交货的影响控制到最小。目前，随着疫情的好转，社会秩序已经恢复正常，供应链和物流短期内出现供不应求已经得到改善。公司目前的产能利用率达到100%，我们预计受疫情的影响，公司一季度的出货由大约400到500兆瓦会延期到二季度，二季度的出货量在原来高预期的基础上会再度推高，全年的出货量和扩产计划不受任何影响。
Since the beginning of 2020, China has been fighting the outbreak of COVID-19. Local governments across the nation have implemented a series of comprehensive and stringent measures to prevent its spread and bring the outbreak under control. These measures included extending the Chinese New Year holiday, mobilizing and distributing medical resources, and strict controls on transportation, which have impacted the solar industry. Based on our internal data, delaying the return to work created a shortage of certain raw materials needed for production, impacted OEM capacity, and created logistic bottlenecks and delays. This has affected the module shipments during the first quarter, which has been postponed to the second quarter. In response to the outbreak, we implemented a number of initiatives to ensure business continuity, including ensuring the safety and health of our employees and minimizing the impact on production and the delivery by stocking up on critical raw materials and optimizing production and logistics. The situation is gradually improving as the economy gradually restarts. The temporary impact on our supply chain and logistics has improved, and our current capacity utilization rate has already reached 100%. We estimate that 400 to 500 megawatts of our solar module shipments in the first quarter will be delayed to the second quarter, which will cause shipments in the second quarter to increase significantly. Thanks to these measures, we believe the impact on our shipments and capacity expansion plans for the full year of 2020 will not be impacted.
我们认为技术是构建公司竞争力的重要力量。2019年公司加大了研发力度，我们的电池效率和组件功率于2019年6月和2020年1月两次刷新了世界纪录。近期公司任命了首席技术官，致力于引领和加快研发，并将技术成果应用到公司太阳能产品的量产中。2019年5月，我们推出了七大系列产品的迭代产品，借多方透明背板的十万系列组件，凭借其综合性能、创新性的行业解决方案和应用，十万系列组件荣获2019年英特尔了光伏大奖。2019年10月，公司发布新型 Tiger 组件，结合九组三高效单晶和迭暗技术，定义了新标准。我们是行业首家攻克迭暗技术，并以最优的成本实现高能量密度组件量产的公司。同时，依据差异化的产品策略，我们推出了针对户用市场的新一代 N 型组件。N 型组件具备超高效率和高性价比，一推出市场便受到了客户的广泛认可。我们的组件产品在发电效率和能量密度方面一向领先同行。未来，我们将继续致力于前沿技术的研发，并利用一体化产业链的优势，使创新产品快速实现量产。
Technology remains key to strengthening our competitive edge in the market. We increased our investment into R&D in 2019, which resulted in our product breaking cell efficiency and module output world record twice in June 2019 and once in January 2020.We recently appointed a chief technology officer who will lead and accelerate our R&D efforts and quickly apply them to the mass production of our solar product. In May 2019, we officially launched the latest addition to our range of premium Cheetah products, This one bifacial module with clear Dubon Tidlar based backsheet. The module's comprehensive performance, quality, innovative design, and industry application was recognized with the receipt of the InterSolar Award 2019. In October 2019, we set a new standard for the industry with the launch of a new high-efficiency Tiger module using 9 busbar monoperc and tailing ribbon technology. We were the first in the industry to solve technical problems using tailing ribbon technology and the first to begin mass production of high-efficiency modules with minimum cost. As part of our differentiate product strategy, we released a new generation of N-type modules tailored for the residential market, which has been widely adopted by customers for its ultra-high efficiency and cost effectiveness. These breakthroughs demonstrate our ability to lead the industry technologically in terms of power generation efficiency and energy density. Going forward, we will continue to allocate resources towards the development of cutting-edge technologies and accelerate the mass production of our innovative products, leveraging the significant advantage our fully integrated industrial chain provides.
2019年，不断的技术突破和全新高效产能带动制造成本快速下降，我们的一体化制造成本实现了行业领先。硅片端，我们正在将行业领先的单晶卤集成控制系统大规模的应用于生产制造，从而从智能化和自动化的角度进一步提升生产的质量和效率。电池端，我们进行了PERC电池产能的全面升级，四个月内实现四 G 瓦的产能提升，刷新业界的记录。同时，我们领跑了800兆瓦超高效 N 型电池的量产，目前量产转化效率业界领先。组件端，我们作为多年来具有最大组件出货量的企业，利用全球产能的布局和一体化产业链的优势，始终保持着组件出货量、成本和品质的领先。
In 2019, our ability to constantly drive technological breakthroughs coupled with our expanding production capacity for high-efficiency products continue to drive down manufacturing costs. Our integrated cost structure now leads the industry. On wafer side, we are applying our integrated monocrystal furnace controlling system, which is highly automated and intelligent, to the production process, which will further improve production quality and efficiency. On the sales side, we expanded and updated PERC capacity by 4 gigawatts within 4 months, breaking an industry record. We also lead the industry in the mass production of 500 megawatt ultra-high efficiency N-type cells with the leading conversion efficiency currently available. On module side, we are maintaining our leading position in terms of module shipments, manufacturing cost, and product quality by leveraging our global footprint and fully integrated industrial chain.
由于终端产品的竞争力越来越多的依赖于技术，持续高效的研发能力和量产能力集中于行业少数几家企业，且产能聚集叠加产业协同，市场份额的寡头垄断效应会进一步加强。我们已经在产业链的多个环节看到了这种趋势，并且期待晶科的市场份额会在未来几年得到持续快速的提升。
The competitiveness of products in the market today is driven by the technologies they incorporate. The ability to invest heavily in R&D and apply new technologies to the mass production is increasingly concentrating among a few players in the industry who have the capacity, concentration, and industrial scenarios needed to drive the process forward. We believe the market will continue to be concentrated among a few leading players going forward and will allow us to continue growing our market share over the next few years.
产能方面，截至四季度末，公司的单晶硅片产能达到 11.5 吉瓦，高效电子片产能 10.6 吉瓦，组件产能达到16吉瓦。由于四川乐山二期项目产能的快速释放和 和既有产能的提产增效，我们预期公司的当今规电产能将在今年四月份达到18G瓦。另外，800兆瓦的超高效 N 型电池产能已在2019年4季度实现满产。考虑到公司出货量的迅速增加和创新产品的量产需求，公司将有9G瓦的全新组件产能，预计将在今年2季度末陆续投产。
On capacity side, our in-house mono wafer solar cell and high efficiency solar module production capacity has now reached 11.5 gigawatt, 10.6 gigawatt, and 16 gigawatt respectively by the end of the fourth quarter of 2019. Given the rapid release of capacity as part of phase two of the Leshan project and production and efficiency increase from existing capacity, we expect our mono wafer capacity to reach 18 gigawatt in April 2020. Meanwhile, the 800 megawatt of ultra-high efficiency N-type cells project has reached full capacity in the fourth quarter of 2019. In addition, to meet growing demand of our innovative mass-productive products, we will gradually expand module capacity by 9 gigawatts later from the second quarter of 2020.
话题交给江总之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。基于当前的预期，考虑到疫情的影响，2020年第一季度公司的组件出货量在3.4到3.7G瓦之间，营业收入在10亿美金到10.8亿美金之间，毛利率在19%到21%之间。2020年全年组件出货量的预期不变，在18到20G瓦之间。
Before turning over to Jenner, I would like to quickly go through our guidance for the first quarter of 2020. Based on current estimates and the impact from the outbreak of COVID-19, we expect total solar module shipments to be in the range of 3.4 gigawatt to 3.7 gigawatt for the first quarter of 2020. Total revenue for the first quarter is expected to be in the range of $1 billion to $1.08 billion. Gross margin for the first quarter is expected to be in the range of 19% to 21%. We reiterate our guidance for year 2020 shipments to be in the range of 18 gigawatt to 20 gigawatt.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. Looking forward, during the fourth quarter of 2019, our total shipment of solar modules reached 4,538 megawatts, a record high for the year. Total shipment for the full year 2019 were 14.3 gigawatts. This impressive performance allowed us to retain our number one position in terms of shipment globally for the fourth consecutive year. In terms of regional growth, non-China shipment accounted for approximately 83% of the total shipment in 2019, an outstanding result driven by our comprehensive global sales network and a localized professional team. In 2019, the proportion of shipment to North America and Europe grew significantly, creating a more balanced sales portfolio among those markets. We also implemented strategic plans to deploy our services in key emerging markets by leveraging our global marketing networks. Product-wise, mono-based high-efficiency products as a contributor of the total shipment increased significantly from 44% in 2018 to 74% in 2019. Which made Jinko to become not only the world's largest module supplier, but also the world champion of mono module provider. As the world leading module supplier, we understand the importance and value of excellent customer service play in distinguishing us from competition. In 2019, we closely monitored and analyzed the market demand to improve and optimize our global distribution networks. After having carefully studied the local policies and various technology-driven innovation practices, we further improved our operational efficiency and upgraded our flexible supply chain management system, which are expected to drive further improvement in customer satisfaction. Looking forward into 2020, the proportion of non-China shipments is estimated to remain at 85% or so. The volume of monopurc high-efficiency products will further increase up to almost 100% by the end of 2020. Meanwhile, that of new products with higher energy conversion efficiency and the power output will hit over 40%. Geographically speaking, we will seize opportunities to generate a steady growth in mature markets going forward to enhance market penetration by our high-end products and premium services while continuing to expand our business arms into different segments of each market over the next 3 years. From a demand perspective, we are very confident and optimistic about the global market in 2020. Firstly, let me share with you some current updates in China. In the second half of 2019, prices along with the supply chain system have been readjusted and recalibrated due to the delayed demand. As a matter of fact, project economic competitiveness in multiple provinces surfaced, making solar the cheapest source of energy available locally. The delayed announcement of the government subsidy policy in 2019 resulted in approximately 10 gigawatts of installation to be delayed to 2020. Early finalization of subsidy policy in 2020 is expected to we are getting from our partners, project developers, and financial institutions. Lastly, we increased our investment into R&D in 2019 and launched the Swan, Tiger, and N-type high-efficiency products, targeting different market segments and clients. New products with strong demand received a very positive popularity. Throughout 2019, we deepened our interactions with our clients and other market players. We participated in 257 marketing events globally for our key clients, doubling the amount in 2018. I see a very strong demand in 2020, and I remain very optimistic about our first-class brand, reliable customer service, mature supply chain, along with the deployment of marketing campaign with further strengthening our global reputation for producing cost-effective and reliable high-efficiency products. With that, I will turn it over to Charlie.
Thank you, Jitter. The financial results are very strong, with quarterly and annual module shipments, total revenues, and gross profit breaking historical record. Looking to 2020, we are very confident about our sustainable growth. We continue to strengthen our product portfolio by promoting new high-efficiency products. We further solidified our shipments and expand global market share by taking advantage of our top brand, global manufacturing, and sales and marketing footprints. Meanwhile, the planned expansion of integrated production capacities and leading cost structures will drive our future profitability. Furthermore, we continuously strengthen our balance sheet. We plan to reduce our leverage ratio. Our production capacity expansion will be funded by our strong operating cash flow and onshore renewable infrastructure funds. In addition, we are selling international solar projects. In Q4, we entered into an agreement to sell two solar projects in Mexico with a combined capacity of 155 megawatts. We are in the process of fulfilling the contractual obligations and expect to close the transactions by April. Once the transaction is completed, our total debt will be reduced by $131 million. It's consistent with our strategy to focus our solar manufacturing business. Turning to Q4 results, total revenue increased to $1.37 billion, up 27% sequentially. gross margin was 18.2%. Excluding the 83D reversal benefit, gross margin was 18.1% compared to 18.5% in Q3. Gross profit was $248 million compared to $223 million in Q3. EBITDA was $161 million, up 60% compared to $100 million in Q3. Non-GAAP net income. Turning to the Q4 results, total revenue increased to $1.37 billion, up 27% sequentially. Gross margin was 18.2%. Excluding the 83D reversal benefit, gross margin was 18.1% compared to 18.5% in Q3. Gross profit was $248 million compared to $223 million in Q3. EBITDA was $161 million, up 60% compared to $100 million in Q3. Non-GAAP net income was $62 million. This translates into non-GAAP diluted earnings per ADS of $1.40. The operating expenses accounted for 11.9% of total revenue compared to 12.8% in Q3. The decrease was due to a decrease in shipping cost as a percentage of revenue because shipments to China accounted for a higher percentage of total shipments in Q4. Now, I'll brief you on our 2019 full-year financial results. 2019 was significantly stronger than 2018. Total solar module shipments were 14.3 gigawatts, up 26% year-over-year. Total revenue was $4.3 billion, up 19% year-over-year. Gross margin was 18.3% compared to 14% in 2018. Excluding the 83D reversal benefit, gross margin was 17.5% compared to 13.2% in 2018. The substantial increase was contributed by growth of our integrated production capacity in the second half of 2019, the continuous reduction of manufacturing costs, and our highly diversified global sales network. Operating expenses were 12.4% of total revenue in 2019 compared to 11.5% in 2018. The increase was due to an increase in shipping costs as a percentage of revenue driven by a higher percentage of shipments to the international markets. EBITDA was $376 million compared to $224 million in 2018. Net debt versus EBITDA ratio was 2.7 times, significantly improved from 4 times in 2018. Non-GAAP net income was $139 million compared to $63 million in 2018. This translates into non-GAAP diluted and basic earnings per ADS of $3.29. Moving to the balance sheet, at the end of Q4, our balance of cash and cash equivalents were $895 million compared to $588 million at the end of Q3. AR turnover days improved to 58 days compared to 63 days in Q3. Inventory turnover days reduced to 67 days compared to 93 days in Q3. Total debts were $1.9 billion at the end of Q4, among which $294 million was related to international solar projects compared to $1.7 billion at the end of Q3. Net debt was $1 billion compared to $1.1 billion at the end of Q3. We reiterate our guidance of total solar module shipments for the full year 2020 in the range of 18 gigawatts to 20 gigawatts. CapEx for 2020 will be around $350 million. Operator, let's go to the question and answer section. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions for your speakers today, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Again, that's 01 on your telephone keypad now. Your first question is from Philip Shen, who's from Roth Capital Partners. Your line is now open, Philip. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for the questions. Congrats on successfully navigating through the coronavirus disruption in your operations. I can imagine, you know, I think it was a pretty tough challenge. That said, it looks like we're likely going to get a substantial amount of demand destruction in the U.S. and Europe. How do you plan on navigating that, like the likely demand issues in these two regions? I think they could be nearly 50% of your revenue in 2020. Are you hearing yet of any cancellations? I know it's early, but what are your customers telling you? You know, I think you guys have pushed out a bunch of shipments from Q1 into Q2. You know, what's the chance that we get, you know, a substantial amount of shipments being pushed from Q2 into Q3? Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. This is Jenna. Actually, we are actively talking to our customers all over the world, including Europe and the U.S. Right now, the current feedback we got from customer end is they still need the products, and pretty urgently. One side, the market demand is still there, and another side, there's a short of supply in Q1 because of the situation in China. So they are expecting to compensate the loss and catch up with the progress of the revenue for the rest of this year. What we heard, beyond Italy, all the rest of Europe are still in the normal position, and we do not hear any outbreaks or any troubles for delivering our goods and deliver the contracts. Italy, because of blackout, we are experiencing some logistic bottleneck. Mainly, it's not a canceled deal or cancel the delivery. It just costs longer time for the inspections and the clearance. But still, you know, everything is still in the right track right now. But we are closely following our customers and market to see if there's anything happening soon.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Jenna. I know it's a real time situation, so it's in fluid. So I can imagine we'll be getting more updates later. You know, as it relates to capacity expansion, there's been a lot of announcements by your peers. You know, between what's interesting now is, you know, as you guys ramp up, and, you know, when I say you guys, you know, the China ecosystem is ramping up, you know, there could be this demand slowdown. Yeah, it seems like a potentially tough situation. Are you seeing any potential impact on, what are you hearing about pricing for 2020? Is there a chance that pricing could be incrementally lower than what you guys had expected back in November? Thanks for addressing this issue.
Thank you, Phil. The market price side, what we hear or what we are looking at right now is still the market price comes down a little bit compared with, let's say, Q4. But still, in general, it's stable between Q1, Q2, and all the deals we are looking at rest of this year in 2020. It's mainly still because there's an expectation of a short of supply for Q2, even for Q3, because people need to catch up. You know, there's a lot of delayed demand to be shipped to use the Q2, Q3 capacity to compensate. So in general, the high quality, high efficiency capacity are still in a short of supply in short term. In long term, we believe the solar industry as a whole needs to continue to improve ourselves to provide a better economic in terms of the resources or sources of the power market. Hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Jenna. And then my last one here is when you guys provided guidance back in November for Q4, the implied kind of blended cost per watt was roughly 22-ish cents. But our back of the envelope calculation for the actual Q4 blended cost per watt was closer to 24 cents after maybe backing out some project sales. Can you talk about why it came in so much higher, the cost per watt for Q4, when you gave the guidance in November, so you already likely shipped the modules for December. So did something in December, did the cost in December come in much higher than planned, or if you can give us some color there, that would be great. Thank you.
Philip, and I think there may be some misinterpretations for the cost structures, and in the fact is our in-house integrated production costs continue to improve through the fourth quarter, and we are very confident now we are leading, we are one of the leading integrated module producers and with the cost leadership. And I'm not sure how you calculate the ASP versus the blended cost. And one of the factors may be, I think it's a integration level. And if you look at our Q4, the total shipments and 4.5 gigawatts, which is significantly higher than the third quarter the shipments. So of course, our internal productions for the mono wafer, perc cell continue to increase. But if you calculate the integration levels, I think for the Q4, given the strong shipments, significant up, and our integration level and it's relatively lower than the third quarter.
Okay. From a calculation standpoint, I'm just simply taking from the guidance for Q4, just taking the shipments and the revenue guide and then expected gross margins to get those blended.
Yeah, just to supplement. And of the total revenues, roughly for the Q4, we have roughly 6% of revenue is from the sales to third party for the multi-wafer and the low-efficient sale. And we continue to operate legacy multi-wafer capacity roughly 3.5 gigawatts, and our products have been shifted almost 100% to the mono modules, and so we produce a multi-wafer, and we sell to the third party, and the margin is low, but we still make some very tiny net income from the multi-wafer business. So that you need to, when you calculate the ASP, et cetera, you need to exclude the 6% revenue, which is not relevant to the solar module. So I think that will get more accurate in the blended cost.
Great. Okay. Thanks for the color. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Your next question is from Carl Liu from CICC. Your line is now open, Carl. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks, man, for taking the question. My first question is about the guidance of the gross profit margin in the first quarter. So we have a 19 to 21 gross margin guidance, but we are seeing the gross margin slightly decline in the fourth quarter. So could you please give us some guidance on how we achieve the better gross margin in the first quarter, whether it's coming from the product mix improvement from high efficient products or whether it's from cost reduction. And I have a follow-up question.
Okay, it's really a very good question. And we delivered roughly 18.2% of gross margins in the fourth quarter. And which is relatively lower than our original guidance, the 18.5% to 20.5%. And that is because, we have higher multi-wafer revenue. and which is not in our original estimations, because we plan the multi-wafer cells based on the weekly basis, two weekly basis, and as long as we make tiny margins, we will continue the productions and sell to third parties. But for the multi-wafer, the gross margin is pretty low. It's roughly 5%. So it's it's impacting to the blended gross margin. The second thing is the solar module shipments is 6% higher than our estimations. And for the incremental shipments, it's not from our internal production. We need to buy the cell, solar cell, and we need to assemble the module. The margin is relatively lower, significantly lower, actually, and the gross margins from our integrated produced modules. So back to your question, the fourth quarter relatively lower, and two factors. One is we have more revenues from the multi-wafer. Multi-wafer, the margin is low. Second one is the module shipments is higher than what we expected, but the incremental part in the margin is lower because we need to buy solar cell from third party. So that is the key reason. And for the Q1, we are looking to increase our blended gross margin to 19% to 21%. And it's firstly, the Q4, we have roughly 30-35% shipment to China. China's ASP is relatively lower. And in Q1, we have lower shipment to China, roughly 10% to 15%. From the ASP perspective, because of diversification, more to international markets, and the ASP is relatively very stable. This is first thing. And the second one is because the second phase, 5 gigawatt mono wafer is ramping up stage, and it's going to ramp to full capacities in April. So we produce more mono wafer by ourselves during the first quarter, which means our integration level is higher, dramatically higher than the fourth quarter, And as well as we continue, to improve our internal production costs. That is a key fundamental reason, and to increase our goals, to have higher gross margins in your first quarter.
Okay, so we both have the product mix improvement and cost reduction because the integration percentage is increased, right? So we have more mono wafer capacity rather than we should buy from third parties, right?
Yeah. The most important driver is integration level is higher, and we have more mono wafer production by ourselves. And second one is we have more mixed to international markets. Our ASP is relatively stable quarter over quarter. And on top of that, we still improve a little bit, the production costs. Because, in Q1, there's some kind of challenge of the, certain materials. The material cost is a little higher, but the internal production cost is some improvement.
Okay. Thanks, Charlie, for this answer. Can I have some color on the you mentioned about the integration percentage? If we can compare with the fourth quarter, whether we have what's the percentage of integration level, in-house level maybe, and the fourth quarter of 2019. So do we have this number?
Yes, we have. And roughly, when we calculate the integration levels, we use the mono wafer productions, which is and the cell productions and average the total. So for example, in Q4, we produced mono wafer roughly 2.8 gigawatts and the cell 2.5 gigawatts. So roughly the integration level is 2.6 gigawatts, which is 4.5 gigawatts. Integration level is relatively lower than 60%. And for the Q1, and given our shipment is relatively lower, 3.4 gigawatts, 3.6 gigawatts. So I believe roughly 65% to 70% integration level.
Okay. Thank you. And may I add up a question about the demand side? So we are seeing the coronavirus not only impact on China, but also in overseas. So can we have some color on the maybe order book now? What's our visibility in our guidance in the 18 to 20 gigawatts of this shipment this year? So do we have some visibility in the order book this year?
Yeah. So I first take the question, and maybe General can supplement. And actually, you know, the virus, you know, the impact in China actually is firstly is a supply impact. So we are seeing the acceleration of, you know, order visibilities and in recent 2 months, and we have assigned roughly over 55% of 20 gigawatts this year. On top of that, we have a couple of gigawatts, you know, in the framework arrangements. And we are very confident, you know, we can achieve 20 gigawatts. And because, you know, we roughly have, you know, exposure to over 100 countries. And we have capabilities, let's say, to mitigate some risk from some certain countries because of the demand, you know, maybe some, you know, disruptions in certain periods, and we are able to, you know, mitigate. And in some countries we can ship more, and this is other countries because of demand disruptions we can mitigate. So I think, you know, we are very confident. That is why we don't change our full year guidance at 20 gigawatts, and you know, the capacity expansion plan. So,
okay.
Gerard, would you like?
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for the answer. Thanks. And that's all of my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Your next question is from Maheep Manloy from Credit Suisse. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the questions, and apologies if I missed it earlier, just having some technical issues here as well. But I know that the coronavirus situation is changing on every hour, every day basis. But to the extent if, you know, demand is actually lower than expected for the year, can you talk about any flexibility you have in your shipments or your CapEx plan for the year, or if you could delay any of the capacity expansion plans scheduled for later this year?
You know, if I get your question correctly, you are talking about the, you know, capacity expansion, you know, the plan, right? And this year, and you know, we increased the mono wafer. Actually, the mono wafer capacity we started the you know, the ramp up, you know, the from the you know, the Q4 last year. So it's almost done for the mono wafer, and we will reach to 18 gigawatts in April, you know, next month, and we'll continue to increase output, you know, the total capacity reach to 19 gigawatts mono wafer capacity by the end of this year. So for the mono wafer, it's 100% done. And on top of that, given we have you know, the goal to reach 20 gigawatts, and we have only 16 gigawatts module capacity by the end of last year, and we plan to increase 9 gigawatts mono module capacity throughout this year, and the module capacity will come up by the end of the second quarter. So I think we don't have the plan to change, right? And if you look at the long term perspective, let's say the next year. And, you know, at least we can deliver, you know, 30% goals. And so, and the mono capacity is CapEx not intensive. And we are, you know, the customer likes, we are doing the, you know, the next generation TR technology capacity. It's not standard capacities. And just back to general question, for the high inefficient, and you know, advanced capacity, we are expecting continue to be in a shortage, the supply shortage. So So back to your question, we don't have plan, you know, to change, you know, in terms of our the module capacity expansion plan.
Fair enough.
Mahip, this is Jenna. I think I can expand a little bit more from the demand side to help you understand why we are keep our original plan. Actually, if we look into the demand side, no matter which analyst report it is, even the lower range will over 100 gigawatt anyway, right? Even the most conservative one, right? So it's a huge market demand compared with the expansion or the capacity we have. As the top player in this industry, I think that we are always, let's say, prioritized as a preferred supplier for all of our clients. So whenever our clients has a demand, they want some products, they ask Jinko first, do you have such capacity or availability? So that's why all the top tier suppliers like Jinko are always, you know, having sufficient order book. Meanwhile, our expansion, like what Charlie just explained, the very important part of the CapEx is for this increase the integration level we had, which is having more in-house wafers supply. Very critical to improve our cost structure. Meanwhile, we are upgrading and expanding slightly for our module side, which give us the competitiveness to continue to supply the high efficient and high end product, which is always always welcome and preferred for any customer all over the world. So follow those two logics. We still believe, you know, the market is huge and we are the preferred supplier with short of supply of high efficiency products. Meanwhile, we can continue to improve our cost structure. So that's why we continue to expand according to our plan. Meanwhile, actually, the current coronavirus impact has not significantly impacted the market till now. All of our customer and the project side has stick to their plan, and we have been requested to ship out all the modules and follow the schedules closely. So we have not received any signal from our customer and saying, hey, please stop, there's a force majeure or there's a big impact because of the virus. Still not. Even, you know, some of our Italian customers are continuing to ask us to ship those products, even the logistics takes longer than expected.
Got it. That's helpful. And then could you just remind us of how much integrated capacity you have for the full year for 2019 versus the in-house for the in-house mono per capacity versus the 20 gigawatts of shipment target?
The 20 gigawatt shipment roughly 99%, you know, almost 100% is mono, you know, mono based high efficient products. And if you look at the, you know, capacity integration levels, and we will reach 19 gigawatts mono wafer, so almost 100% we supply by ourselves, and 11 gigawatts per cell, right? And we need to do the OEM, you know, for the gap, and for the cell capacity, which is the more, the 20 gigawatts, you know, the gap, And for the module capacity, we produce ourselves. You know, we are able to reach 25 gigawatts, and we plan to produce 20 gigawatts module. So the gap is on the cell, and which is, you know, we are able to to do the OEM and to do OEM and using convert our produced the mono wafer to sell.
So if you compare year over year,
you know, 2020 with 2019, you know, it's the integration level is dramatically increased.
Got it. And so just keeping that higher integration level in mind and the higher mix of Chinese production or Chinese supplies this year, and your visibility in pricing. Can you talk about your expectations for gross margins for rest of the year based on your contracts?
Yes, yes, and you know, our target and gross margin is a conservative estimation. It's for the integrated production mono modules. Our target gross margin is 20 to 25%, and you know, and some of new products the margin is relatively higher. For example, the TR modules, and for example, the N type, the margin is even dramatically higher than the 20 to 25%. And in terms of the, you know, blended gross margin, we need to think about, you know, the sale. We need to do the OEM, right? And it's roughly, you know, we believe it's roughly high teens, you know, blended gross margin throughout the year. And we have, you know, some target for the net income as well. And it's a roughly 4% to 6% net margin, net income margin. And the converted, you know, to net income roughly $200 million to $300 million this year.
Got it. That's helpful. And then probably just one last question from me, and then I'll leave it for others. On the residential solar market product, the TR product, could you talk about like which markets are you launching them, and how much, like, is it US, Europe, and other markets, and how much price premium do you expect on those products versus selling into utility solar farms? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Mahip. I think this new product we are launching, targeting at the residential market, mainly covering all the main residential markets, including like US, Europe, Australia, Japan, you know. All the major residential market has been well covered and advertised. The premiums we can get from the market is very high. It's almost 15 to 20% higher than the standard products or let's say commodity products. So we're expecting that product will contributing a lot of the good reputations and customer feedback for Jinko. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Due to the interest of time, this will be our last question, who will be from Alex, who's from UBS. Your line is now open, Alex. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I got two questions. One is regarding to your capacity expansions. So I saw you have a relatively smaller capacity expansion plan in the cell segment compared with your wafer and module expansions. So what's your strategy and the logistics about behind this? Because it seems like should have a more vertically integrated capacity across the supply chain. And my second question is about the ASP. So what's your views and expectation about the ASP across the supply chain in, across the year? I mean, in the next few quarters from polysilicon, wafer, cell and module? Thank you.
In terms of first question, is you know, we do investment, you know, CapEx, and we look for the long term. It's we look for the two to three years. We don't look just for 1 year. And if we make the investment, and we want to make sure the capacity is very competitive in the next 2 or 3 years. And at the same time, you know, we target the, you know, return period, that's the investment return period, and less than 3 years. But on top of that, there's a lot of, you know, considerations and what kind of, you know, the process, procedures, the step we're going to invest. Are we going to invest on the, you know, the mono wafer? Are we going to invest on the cell or the, which is the modules? And we need to evaluate the technology risk. And, you know, and back to, you know, last year, at the beginning of last year, we have decided we were not going to invest on the traditional standard per cell capacity because, you know, we believe it's, you know, it's not the next generation technology. And that is why last year, 2019, we rolled out the 800 megawatts N-type TOPCon, you know, hot, you know, technology in our pipeline. And the result is very, you know, promising. And the 800 megawatts N-type cell, the conversion efficiency have reached to 23.3%. That is very, you know, good result, and we plan to increase to 24%. And so for the next step, we continue to evaluate, you know, and it's for sure, you know, we are not going to invest on the PERC cell, and we're going to invest on the N-type, but it's depending on the, you know, the customer demands, the technology maturities, and the economic returns. So for the second question, I think you are talking about,
I would take the second question for the ASPs. Actually, ASPs, for the contract we signed, I think that's pretty firm contract with a firm commitment. So that's a kind of fixed ASP for that, I say over 50%. And for the rest, around 40 to 50% of the contract is still, we still stick to the market. Even we are capable to get some premium ASP against the market price, but still we need to follow the market price, right? The market price is really depends on this, right now, at least in short term, our view is in Q2, Q3 especially. The market is still in short of supply because of the coronavirus impact the Q1 China supply. So all the customers are desperate to get more supply, get sufficient supply. So we have seen very robust demand for Q2 and Q3. We have anticipated a quite stable market price for the short term. In the midterm, let's say 6 months, even beyond, we believe, you know, this the coronavirus outside China impact will you know, take into effect that if the demand has got delayed, somehow we are anticipating the market price start to drop. If, you know, all the governments can fight against this virus issue and we can pass it through, we believe the market price will stay healthy, let's say slightly decrease quarter by quarter.
Okay, so do you expect the price will be brought down when China started bidding for the project in 2020? Because it seems like we may need a lower module price for the new project in 2020 in China, right?
Well, it's still in the bidding process for the new projects. For the China demand, for at least until middle of this year, like the end of Q2, beginning of Q3, we see the China demand is mainly driven by the 2019 projects, right? So either it got a delayed scheduled for Q1 installation, get delayed into Q2, Q3, or it's all the 2019 grid parity projects that need to finish installation by mid of this year. So we have seen all those demands are driven the market in China, market demand in China, which saying the and also given the, you know, the intense or let's say short of supply side, so we believe the market price will be kind of stable. Well, Q4, we need to see how this 2020 China grid parity or the China project auction goes. All the people are expecting, you know, the auction price could be more rational and reasonable, especially given the module side have a more advanced technology, can provide a more competitive LCOE. We do not see a sharp drop in the Q4 right now.
Okay, got it. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may all now disconnect.